Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Ain't it good to know and feel the good Spirit of God? Amen. I mean, really, right? I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, we're doing things a little differently this morning. We're confusing the devil. It's like over in the war, it's going on. You know, these reporters want to know exactly what's going on. That would be the biggest mistake in the world to tell them what the plan is. I'm telling you. Can we pray for our military? I can't put that in a pot till we pray, right? It won't be blessed. I like to got ahead of myself. Praise the Lord. All right, appreciate these men. And all right. Okay, Dan, why don't you pray for this?
I see.
Help us, dear God. Amen. Ryan. Amen. Amen. Let me say this before they begin the offering. I'm working on a quarterly report for our missionary program, and we're going to be meeting shortly. I value the men's time and for them to have to come so far sometimes. So I'm going to try to meet with you like early on a Sunday morning one time. And you can bring the biscuits. Yeah, you bring it. But we'll meet a little early, a little later on. And when we get things laid out, and we're looking forward to taking on some more missionaries. We got one coming up, hopefully coming pretty soon. I believe he's in Southeast Asia. I believe that's where he's going to be going. So we want to be real careful and continue. And there would be nothing wrong if you want to update your missionary giving. Amen. It's called faith promise. If God provides it, you give it. If you ain't got it, how can you give what you ain't got? Let me just tell you right quickly. Okay. When I got saved and heard about missions, number one, I didn't have any money. And there was a missionary here named Frank Rosser, and he came by Central America, and I didn't have anything to give, but I had electric, and I'm bragging on myself. I'm just telling you what I've done, okay? All right, I'm not bragging on myself. I had a real burden to give something to missions, and I had a Fender Electric guitar, Fender amp, and I used to play the wrong kind of music on it, and God delivered me from there. But here's the thing. I went and got it. And brought it over here and said, Brother Rosser, I don't have any money, but I have this guitar. And he raised his trunk and said, put it in there, son. I'll find something to do with it. And I can just see some missionary down there rocking out in Central America. Where are they going to plug it in, right? He pawned that thing quick as he could, probably. But anyway, then listen to this. I started giving a quarter a week. When I was 15 years old, I said, Lord, if you'll give me a quarter, and you could buy a couple of Cokes for a quarter, you could buy a candy bar and a RC belly washer. So God provided that quarter every week. Then it went up to 50 cents. And then it went up, I'm going to tell you what, my wife and I give a lot to missions. These guys know that. God provides. He's blessed us so much that I really can't express it. I never would have thought we'd been able to give to missions like this, but you can't be elder. And God's just blessed us. And He'll bless you. Ray Day, I had a time when I talked like I'm talking now about missions. I remember Brother Ray he had a burden to give more to missions. And when he did, the next week he got a raise on his salary. I guess they heard about it. I guess the boss heard about it and said, well, he's going to give. We're going to have to give him more now. It's all in the plan. All the plan. not sung out of choir book in a while. Has everybody got a choir book, or you may have to share a little bit? Andrew has been working on some new songs and new choir book here. Get that together. Not yet. Everybody know that song? Listen. In the dark of the midnight, have I all hid my face? When the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place, mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm. I'm going to say something to encourage you. Sing like somebody's after you and you're scared, but you turn it to happy. If that's the best you got in you, if somebody's after you, they ain't going to never hear you holler for help. So what you want to do is do it happily and sing. Let's lift our voices up. Sad song, right? No, good song. Good song. I just heard a song this morning that says, after the storm, I was still standing. Amen. All right, that's it. Okay. Many times Satan whispered, there's no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storm never darkens the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe. Amen. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore. In that land of the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Good singing, good song, wonderful, wonderful. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 28. I thought I was going to say 27, right? Acts chapter 28. I remember when I was just a young fella, for some reason, down South Gadsden, I was at home by myself, and it come a storm. I mean, a major storm. What's going on, Philip? Doing something wrong, man. Okay. Acts chapter 28. Now, I got in that. I was there by myself. I don't know, buddy. The devil's in here. Beats me. I'm supposed to say testing 1, 2, 3. I don't have no idea. Works. I think Philip's doing a wonderful job. I don't know what happened. He didn't mess up. Surely I'm the one that messed up. This one's working, right? Oh, good. Not a lie. By myself, I might have been 10 years old. For some reason, I was at home by myself. Yeah, I remember I was standing at 1906 State Street. I was standing in the front door, and I was watching that storm, you know, and I got scared. I mean, it was lightning. I mean, it was thundering. The wind was blowing. It was raining hard. I just remember that for some reason. You may not believe this. I don't know why preachers want to prep that by saying, well, Paul said this. Paul said, I speak the truth and I lie not. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I think he may have said it more than once. He said, I'm not lying. You know, I guess sometimes people think preachers making things up. But I was working over in West Alabama around Hamilton, near Mississippi over there on 278. And I was coming home on 278, and that's a rough road. That's stuck like this. And I mean, it's 2-lane, and some of it's 4-lane now. And it was in a storm. A storm came. Now, I mean, a lightning storm. And it was at night. And there was, you know, us cars was traveling slow. It was raining, the wind was blowing. And before God, more than once, maybe 8 times, coming through before I got to Coleman, lightning, I saw lightning hit in front of my truck on the highway. I'm thinking, well, that missed me. I mean, no bomb shelter. You don't believe that. I mean, has anybody saw lightning come down in front of you and hit in the road and like splatter, what's that stuff, brimstone? I'm thinking, that's when you really check up on your salvation right there, I guarantee you. And so anyway, come through Sand Mountain there. So, you know why there's not a lot of trees on Sand Mountain like they are on Lookout Mountain? Tornadoes. And I was really close to a tornado one time over there. I mean, I didn't know it. I know it was dark. The wind was blowing, and my little old truck, you know, was doing this. And I come out later, and I just drove. I don't know if I drove through one, but I was so close. But anyway, you know, the idea of storms. Now, you can't control a storm. You might as well forget about it. And you cannot control a storm. And sometimes you cannot control your feelings and what you think about it. But I tell you, we know who's in control. Amen. There's a man over there on Sand Mountain. I never had been there. My job is to go around and collect insurance money twice a year, every 6 months, in different areas. We'd cover a lot of area. And then I would sell as I went and collect as I went. I made 40% to collect, to sell, and 14% to collect. My boss called me a human vacuum cleaner because I collected. I'm still collecting money. So anyway, I didn't get to keep it all. I sent a bunch to Chicago, Illinois. I thought I was working for the mafia because I said, I've always beat my brains out, and I still do. I couldn't get my hands too clean. They've been in grease 2 days, and I tried my best to wash them, but when I got out there, when I just knocked somebody's door, went in the place of business or their farm, and they handed me a check, I said, there's something crooked about this. But I'd send a bunch up there. They'd send me a little back, enough to survive on. But I got up there on Sand Mountain, and I was going down to a policyholder's house, and I'd never been there before. Somebody else had sold the insurance. My job was to collect it. And when I pulled up, there's a little frame house down a long dirt road. Knocked on the door. They said, come in. Husband, wife, there's. Sit down. Nice folks. There'd been tornadoes. There'd been some bad weather. She said, my husband has got a prophet's rod. I said, why? Huh? I got a prophet's rod. Matter of fact, he's got two of them. He had one behind the couch, one over in the corner. They showed me both of them. Yeah, tell him what you done, sweetheart. Tell him what you done. He said, the tornado was coming. And I went out on the front porch with my prophet's rod. And I put that tornado right over my house. And I'm just wondering, oh, Barry, what's his name, had chicken houses in a house. I'm just wondering why he put it down on Barry's house. I went by Barry's house. He was a customer. And Barry had two chicken houses and a nice house. And I drove right by there thinking I hadn't got there yet. But I done passed it. There wasn't nothing there. There wasn't nothing. I mean, there wasn't nothing. And I'm thinking, if he's supposed to be a man of God, the prophet, why? He put that. Hey, there's some loony birds out there, friends. My father-in-law calls them spacelings. I'm telling you how crazy, how stupid it is. Oh, Barry, I believe his last, I'm just about sure his name was Owens. He made that original ice cream, homemade ice cream at Collinsville Trade Day. He was the man that started that, and he sold his machine. He had like a one cylinder pop machine making an ice cream there, and he sold that out. But he, you know where he was when his house blew away? You know what window he was looking out when he saw his house blew away? Church. He was at church and saw everything he had on earth blow plumb away. Yes, Barry. You say, every time it storms, I'm going to be at church from now on. You can count on that one. And when it ain't storming, I'm going to be at church. Hold your Bibles in Acts chapter 28, but also I want you to look in Proverbs chapter 31. Nobody's going to control what God controls. You can try in vain. They're trying to save the earth, you know. Ain't it fixing to be Earth Day? It's just about going to be Earth Day. Y'all keeping up with that? Y'all going to go to the rallies and all, right? Go green. That's what I say. Go green. Bring in the cash. Go green. Go green. Hey, Proverbs 31, verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? They may get around in the second heaven, which is the terrestrial, but they're not getting where God is. Who hath gathered, look at it, the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou canst tell, you know who it is? God the Father and God the Son. And the Bible says that he does this. Hey, catch you a little wind, okay? I'll tell you what, some people so windy in their mouth that they could get a small storm started. I would never call no names. You say, well, I know one loudmouth preacher and get a storm started. But he's got the wind in his fist. That's God. And God decides when the storm comes, and God decides when the storm goes. I'm going to take a little break here and tell you something else just right quick. There's a great storm over in Iran right now, and it ain't caught God by surprise. No, it hasn't. We pray for our military people. We pray for them. Robert's military, Levi's military. Some of y'all got friends or neighbors. TJ's military. Pray for TJ all the time. And we pray for those folks that there's a terrible storm. I asked one military man a while back, I said, what's going on? He said, maybe World War III. I mean, you know, that's, they say, well, we opened up a can of worms. No, the can of worms has been open a long time. We're just doing something about it now. We're trying to stomp out the worms. But I'm going to tell you how bad, just quickly, if you'll give me just a moment. On these blasphemy laws, there's a storm in the legal system, especially in England. The blasphemy laws are reinstated in England right now. Islamic protesters, let me get this square away right here in England. But right now, last few days, there's been pro-Islamic protesters in Philadelphia, right here in our country. And here's what they're saying. I heard it. I heard some of the voices. I heard them saying it. Destroy the USA. Right here in the United States, they're saying, destroy the USA. And they said, bring the soldiers back in body bags. That's, you know, if I was in charge, I'd get rid of all of them right there. Only in America can you say what you want to say. If there's one positive about that, you can recognize who the enemies are. Bring the soldiers back in body bags. Hey, it goes deeper than that. And in England right now, the blasphemy laws, if you say anything derogatory against Islam or Muhammad or Allah, any of that religion, if you say anything wrong, you know what happens? You go to jail for blasphemy. In England, it's too late for England, friends. If you say anything or even question or make Muslims feel uncomfortable, you go to prison. Here's the tough one. In Philadelphia. Why in Philadelphia? Why? Isn't that part of our heritage and our foundation as a country? Right there in Philadelphia right now, kids in a mosque school. In Philadelphia, they're singing songs. Not Jesus loves me. They're singing songs. Cut the Jews' heads off. Destroy the Jews. They chant, bring us. They print these protesters. I've already said it. Bring back the soldiers in body bags. You know, I'm getting. This is a storm, friends. This is a world storm. There's a scholar in North Carolina University, and here's what he said: it's okay for men to marry little children, girls. It's okay. Muhammad did it. And it's okay to marry girls before they even reach womanhood. North Carolina University. If I was Hannah Justin, I'd move clean out of there. The city they live close to, Silver, North Carolina's ate up with the overflow of sodomites coming out of Asheville. We've been there. Storm. God controls the storm. That's hard to realize, ain't it? So that's just a pre-thought. But here in Acts chapter 28, we sort of turn the page. And in Acts chapter number 28, and bear with me, I don't plan on being a long time. By the way, I forgot to announce in the if Robert's preaching next Sunday, on Easter Sunday, that's okay. Are you ready for that? All right. All right. Easter egg hunt. We're going to have an Easter egg. Captain's got about 100 dozen eggs. Y'all got to get them and eat them before they spoil. Bear with me. In Acts 28, verse 1, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. Now, I'm probably just going to introduce this subject. Melita, you can check it out, and you can check it out in history. There's a modern day thought that they knew where Melita was, and they're calling it Malta now. But Melita was an island And it was an unidentified island. At that time, they didn't, it was close to Sicily, I believe, but it was not like on the map. It was undetermined. When they came off, you remember they came off of that storm they were in, and verse 43 of chapter 27, but the centurion willing to pay, save Paul kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first in the sea, get to the land, and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land. Well, you know, people that can't swim are very, very fearful of water. And people that think they can swim are overconfident. Very overconfident. Can you imagine being on a piece of the broken ship trying to float in? Can you imagine the fear and the anxiety that was there? But every one of them made it safe. 276 of them, that includes Paul, they all made it safe to the land. But when they got there, they didn't know where they were. It was not identifiable. They didn't know where they were. Now, I just wrote down a thought in my mind that everybody's got their island. Everybody's got an island. And as we develop this thought probably later on, you're going to realize that you've got a responsibility, and there you are, and what you're doing or what you're not doing, when God places you in a place that you don't even feel like it, you don't know where you are in the world. And you just went through a storm. You may be getting tired of hearing this, but I can't help it. I've got to go with God on this. You don't know where you are. You don't know what's going on. But you know one thing, the storm's gone. And now you're in a place to seemingly like start all over again. That ship was beat to the smithereens. It was hung up in rocks and on the shallow water on the front and on the back. It was bent. It was going back and forth like a dog's tail. It was just breaking all to pieces. You know, another thing about Paul. Paul had already been in some storms three times. It just seems like Paul was in a storm, but it didn't matter to him. Big deal! Not a storm! Hey, there's one thing about it. I'll never be Paul. I'll never be like him. Because if a storm, God will say, okay, another storm. God's going to see me through. I say, oh, this is the end. It's over with for me. I'm gone. But I'm still here. Why can't I learn? He had done told him, be of good cheer. God had told him, and a couple of chapters back, when he was in prison, God had told Paul, be of good cheer. He learned some words that he could repeat to others, having gone through things that they had never gone through. Be of good cheer, because everything's going to be okay if you'll just listen to what I say the Word of God is. And he said, everybody's got to stay in the ship. And then everybody's got to stay. If anybody lives, they can't be one person leave this ship. And the brave sailors got their lifeboat and they were letting it down by ropes as if they were going to do something else. They were going to sneak off. And there you are, all your protection, the people you thought that could protect you, the wayfaring men, the salty sailors became cowards. And there you are, the only sense of any security you had in a human experience was leaving you. That's tough right there. Anybody you've been depending on ever forsake you? I mean, they got their own storms, but I'm going to tell you what, there's people you and I both confide in that help us. But what about when they get scared? Y'all listening to me? Is it okay? Anybody in a storm, you don't have to say, yeah. You don't have to say that. You don't have to say that. But I know one thing. I know storms are common to believers. Common. Paul had already been three times in a storm. He had been floating for a day and a night. He had floated in the water. He had been in the water for a day and a night in the water. I remember Larry Evans's daddy was in World War II in the Pacific. And they got blown out of the water. And the survivors had their life jackets on. And they got in a circle and they held hands till finally they were rescued. But while they were being rescued, the sharks came. And they were holding hands with men that had their legs bit off and cut the bit half in two. They were holding on to dead men. I'm telling you, I hear people, they compare, you ain't going through what I'm going through. You've never been. Paul had. And Paul said, you can trust God and be of good cheer. And you're in a place you don't know everybody's island. You know, everybody, and there's responsibility on the island. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. They kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. I'm going to tell you what. When we'd hit high banks at Wills Creek when we was a kid, sometimes we'd have our clothes on, sometimes we wouldn't. We had a swing, we'd jump out there and let go. And we didn't care. We'd have our britches on. If we jumped in with our clothes on, we'd be walking home, and it would be nice and wonderful. And all of a sudden, we'd start getting cold, and our lips would be purple, and the wind would start blowing. And these guys had just got off the ship. They'd done been on there for 2 weeks in a storm, and they hit the beach. And when they hit the beach, it's raining, and it's cold. In the Christian life, you've been there before. You've been there. You've been there. It's not careful, you get hard-hearted. You'll start saying, God, you don't like me. I'm going to tell a little story here, Kathy, about your... Kathy was at the cardiologist last week for a checkup, and here's a good doctor, Dr. White down in Birmingham. I recommend him. He said, your heart, and she's good. She's good to go. And I thank God for that. I really, really do. So he said, your heart, a person's heart, not necessarily Kathy's, but a person's heart, as you get older, Kathy's still young, but she's going to get old one of these days. I pray real old for many years. Me too. So he said, it's like blowing up a balloon. And when you blow the balloon up and you got a fresh balloon right out of the pack, and easy. But he said, the heart is like a balloon that the elastic gets harder. And it's harder to blow up. And I said, well, she's always been hard-hearted. That's a joke. I shouldn't have said that. She hadn't. She's the most compassionate, loving person, good cook, beautiful, takes care of everything I want for nothing. We're even, ain't we? You can get hard-hearted on God. Me and Zachary and Blake were fishing up near Little River on the lake years ago. We went camping, and it was cold weather. And we was either driftwood or I can't never keep them straight. Big oak or driftwood, one campground, and just off the hill from where we live, off the mountain. And we had our dog Rusty with us, and we had the camping stuff. We had a tent, we had supplies, food, and we went in there. We went up in the mouth of Little River, just a little ways, and set up a camp. And I carried a dog. I carried a rabbit box with me that catches rabbits. And I ain't got time to tell you about a rabbit box. If you want to know how to make one, I can tell you how to make one. And you catch a rabbit. So we had an idea we'd catch a rabbit and eat it for breakfast or dinner or something. And so I set the rabbit box out there, and we went to bed that night. And the next morning I got up and built a fire. I'll suffer in my memories for as long as I live for this. We built a fire, and I was going to go check the rabbit box, and I told them boys to stay by the fire because it was cold. And Zachary was standing with his back to the fire, and his tennis shoe caught on fire. And all I heard was a scream. And I looked, and I, like, the camp was here, I was here, and Zachary was thinking he's running to me, but he's running away from me. And I saw his leg on fire. And I ran and caught him and got down on him, and I got that flame in my hand to burn. We got him on the boat and trying to get him in. He said, "Daddy, God hates me." He said, he wasn't, how was he, 5, 6? 5 years old. He said, "God hates me, a 5-year-old boy. God hates me." I can hear that right now. We got him. I said, "God don't hate you. God loves you." We got in the boat, was headed to the dock, and when we got there, they let the water down at the dam, and we couldn't make it into the pier. We had to go across the other side of the lake, and I knew some of my customers up there. And I said, maybe I can get to them. No cell phone. Stupid, stupid. We didn't even have cell phones back then. But nothing. Stupid's all I could say. I blame myself to this day. I got Zachary in my arms, and the water was down, and you know, where the water had been, it was just mud. And I'm wading knee-deep in mud, toting Zachary. All Zachary was saying, "God hates me." I said, "Zachary, God don't hate you." A little boy, 5 years old, had family altar every night in the home as long as they lived at my house. Now he's thinking, "God hates me." Oh, he don't hate you. He don't hate you. You know what? He got therapy. Didn't have to have any skin graft. Third-degree burns, wasn't it? Second, he went to Whirlpool several times a week and missed a lot of school. But when he got back, he was ahead of people at this school, thanks to her. He was ahead. What do you think about that? If you're not careful, you'll get hard-hearted when a storm comes. How can we afford to try to blame God for anything? So we talk about this in the storms. We talk about the reality of a storm. We talk about resisting the storm. Oh, you can try. You can try everything you want to, but you ain't going to resist a storm from God. It's coming. And I'll tell you something else. You can resign to the fate. You can say, well, like when Paul told them boys, he said, "No, I'm eating. You need to eat for your health." Before they got off the ship, he said, "You need to go ahead and eat. Be a good cheer." And then some of them, they started eating. They ate. They hadn't ate for 2 weeks or whatever. And the thing about it is, I don't know if any of them boys got saved. I believe you. That's if I was going to get saved, that's when I'd be getting saved. A lot of these soldiers over in Iraqi Freedom and some of that stuff when under George H.W. Bush, when they went into the desert and they went towards Baghdad, you know what? There was a lot of holes dug in the sand and filled with water because, boy, men were wanting to be baptized right there and get right with God. And I don't know how many of these sailors, of these 275, got saved. I hope some of them did, but some of them just said, "Well, we were going to die anyway. We might as well go ahead and eat our last meal." So they resigned to fate. That's not trusting God. But then there were some. Luke was with Paul. Luke was there. Can you imagine that? And I don't know who else. There's another man. There's another message we're going to preach on another man that was with him. And we'll talk about him later. I just want to try to remember his name. I'll get that later. We're going to probably close that message on this one man that was with him. Just right out of the blue, there's a particular man with him, a follower of Paul. But in the storm, reality, resist, resign. No, we need to rely on God and His protection in the storm. Now, what I'm talking to you about, when I'm bringing this to another R, is the opportunity for rebound in the storm. After the storm, rebound. What are you going to do? Are you going to spend the rest of your life blaming God for a storm? Are you going to be so negative? And Christians can do that. They can be negative about everything. Instead of telling people what God's done for you through this life and resurrection of Jesus Christ and His blood, we're telling people how bad we've had it. What do you know? Negativity. You know, negativity breeds like rabbits. Positive is something you have to work at. You know, there's a waitress, it's Scott Reeves' sister-in-law. She works down at Western Sears in Rainbow City, and she's been our waitress for many, many years. And she's always happy. She's always happy. I see her helping other waitresses. We know another one that was at a Western Citizen named Donna up in Fort Payne for years ago. She's helping her sister now at a restaurant in Rainsville. Both of them are like twin people. They're happy. They don't, you know, when somebody comes, what do you want? You done had a glass of tea. It's like some people that we know that went out to Texas to a vacation, some of our neighbors, and they stopped at the motel, and the Hindus were running the motel, and I think they own every motel in the world. But anyway, our neighbor, she went up to get another cup of coffee there in the kitchen, and he said, "Hey, you done had a cup of coffee." What? So this woman's happy. Both of these waitresses are. And I went up to Paul one day, I said, "You're always happy." I didn't ask her if she's a Christian or not. I'm assuming, I hope. I said, "What do you do to be so happy?" She said, "I have to get up in the morning and decide if I'm going to be happy or not. I'm going to decide. I'm going to decide." But she said, "Sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it's hard when the storm comes. We rebound, but how do we rebound?" Well, the first thing, there's three miracles here, and I'll close with this. There's a lot more that I want to talk about on your own island after the storm. First thing, Paul started helping. He's cold, it's raining. He just survived. I don't know if he could swim or not. If the swimmers had to swim, how far did they have to swim? Some of them, I started looking for a board. Yeah. They just get to shore. And the barbarous people showed them no little kindness. Now, these people they'd never seen before. They were unidentifiable. I used to think these barbarous people were these guys with bones in their nose. Wasn't there a girl down there at one of your sisters in Pensacola that come off of one of the islands that every once in a while she'd put her bone back in her nose? Ask Hannah or Katie about that. Right off, she must have come from Melita. I always thought it was people bones in their nose and them horns, like they wear them hats with them buffalo heads on them horns. Strange looking people. Have you ever seen any out there? Oh, yes. Yeah, down there at the doctor's offices this week, it might have been at UAB when we was visiting the children's hospital, but there's some guy that looked like he had plastic surgery with metal. And, I mean, he had it looked like he run into a tackle box right in his face. Pink hair, purple hair, whatever color hair, green hair, tattoos, whatever. I always thought it'd be, I call them, they may be a little bit barbaric, but that, you know what the word barbaric means? I thought it had to do with just wild. You look it up. I've tried to define what I thought was barbaric. I've tried to define that, to find something to qualify what I thought it meant, and nowhere does it say that it's somebody like that. It's just somebody different than you are, a foreigner. It means foreigner. It's exactly what it means. Phoenicians or somebody, the Greeks or somebody occupied that island at one time. So here's what happened. The people that I'm assuming had never heard the gospel. Because when Paul goes from place to place, there's two places right after this that you can see where they were traveling and they found the brethren. And it says nothing about them finding brethren on Melita. Nobody. Nobody. It says something else, and I'll repeat this again. There's no place in this story, in this record, that Paul preached to them and told them about Jesus. There's no evidence that when they left that island, when another ship came by, they got on it and left after several weeks. But there's no evidence, there's no record that anybody was a Christian and that Paul or anybody preached to them about Jesus. There's a place over back in Acts, there at the beginning of Acts, that Paul's missionary journeys, when they went, they were in a city, and Paul didn't have liberty to preach there, and God said, you're going to have to go to this other city, and here's the reason he said that. He said, you go to this other city because I have many people there. They weren't saved yet. He left one city where he could have preached, but God said, don't preach here, go here, because I have many people there. And brother, that's pretty deep on predestination, and I'm not a Calvinist. The need does not constitute the call. Just because there's a great need in New York City don't mean Roger Butler needs to be there. I'm supposed to be where God wants Roger Butler to be. Wow, can you think about that? Now, here's what happened. First of all, Paul started, I want to close more than y'all want me to close. So, the first thing Paul did, the Bible says they kindled a fire and they treated us with no little kindness. People they didn't even know, I'm assuming non-Christians, were better to them than Christians are to Christians. Why is it? Why is it? We separate, seclude ourselves, Pharisee ourselves. We're in our own little group. We don't ever care about nobody else. I'm not saying you. I'm talking about in general, the independent Baptists has got to their little exclusive group. And brother, I'm going to tell you what. There's people out there that we need to identify with and learn from. And that's lost people that treat people better than some Christians treat people. That's the truth. The first thing Paul did, which is rebound from the storm, they started building a fire, and he went out and gathered sticks. He started gathering firewood. You know that story. Why did he have to gather firewood? Why didn't he stay by the fire? They just kept putting it on fire. He went out there and got some. Cold, wet, raining. And when he reached in there, when he reached to get the wood, a snake got him. A viper, a venomous. That means one that'll kill you. You know what? Paul fell dead of a heart attack, just like I do. No, he didn't. You know what he did? He just shook it off and kept working. Out of the storm and a deadly snake bite you? He kept working. He got his mind off himself. And he started rebounding from the storm. They said, he's a bad guy. He's a murderer. They saw it. And they said, we're going to watch him die. He didn't even slow down. They said, well, he ain't a bad guy. He's a god. G-O-D. And then the chief in that village, daddy was sick. And Paul found out about it, and Paul went and saw him. Second miracle, he provided as an apostle the method of healing that apostles had, and he healed that chief's daddy from his sickness. And it caught on. And there were a bunch of other people sick on that island. And Paul spent the rest of his time there going around healing people that were sick. He rebounded from the storm. That's what we got to do. We got to do it. It's your decision. There's a lot of other things here, but you got your own island. I just feel like that I need to read another verse. I want to save this verse for later. This is I don't want to say ace in the hole, but it's another verse. I'm sorry for saying that, but it's just another verse. It's a verse I need to read. If I can find it. I thought I wanted to read it. If I can't find it, I can't read it. Yep. I'll read it again another day, but I'm going to read it now. Romans 14, verse 7. Romans 14, verse 7. You're not going to get out of it. Since you got saved, you're in something that you're not going to get out of. You're in it for the long haul. You're in it for the ride. You can't get out. And while you're in it, until Jesus comes, you're going to face a storm. And it's up to you how you respond to your difficult situation. And I'm not underestimating or undervaluing your storm, your need. I'm just saying we need to get rebounded the right way. And in Romans chapter 14 and in verse number 7, here, listen, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. You know how many people I knew at one time how many people that you as an individual on the average influence. It's a lot of people that you may not know that they look to you. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. And whether we live, therefore, or die, we're the Lord's. And the Lord sends us storms. I'll be the first one to complain. Why is this? What's going on? God don't love me. Yes, He does. Let's stand. Thank you for your attention.